Marx follows the ever-changing landscape to discuss the latest pressing issues relevant to brand owners in Europe and beyond. During this series, Marx members and special guests share updates, experiences, and opinions. This is IP Law Today. This is Talking Marx.
Welcome to episode 5 of the Talking Marx podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about influencers, their growing role in marketing, the impact they can have on brands, and how they're regulated, as well as the opportunities and challenges that IP practitioners need to be aware of. I'm James Nurton, and I'm delighted to be joined today by two long-standing members of the Marx community. You could maybe call them influencers in their own right. They are Alexandra DiMaggio of Novagraph in France, who's also chair of the Marx Unfair Competition team, and Letitia Lagarde, who is legal counsel with Global Blue. Welcome to both of you, Alexandra and Letitia.
Thanks, James. It's great to be here today.
Thank you, James.
Alexandra, I'd like to start with you. Can you tell us, first of all, what are influencers and why are they important?
Yes, sure, James. I will try at least. So, influencer is actually a person sharing posts on social networks. And more than this, it's a person who is able, like the word influencer says, to have a dominant influence in the digital environment, and is actually someone able to shape the consumer opinion. It's someone generating interest in something on social media. And due to this influence, like the word again influencer says, influencer is someone having impact on pushes or decision. And that's why actually the brand owners and the companies are interested in influencer and relying on them to build online link between brand and consumer. So the first point as regard influencer is they are online, they are a link between brand and consumer and could have influence in for purchasing the good. And also important point two, influencers are such as normal people. They are known and trusted without being, in the majority of the case, of course, an expert or a celebrity. Everyone can be an influencer, is the famous Andy Warhol 15 minutes of fame, of course. And the last point is that influencers are important due to the ways of social media today. Everyone knows Instagram, TikTok, and every brand need to be on for targeting some people only using social network and not communicating anymore with TV and even worse newspaper. So I think Letitia can give you a few numbers about the ways of social medias.
Yes, thank you, Alexandra, for telling us about this a bit evolution about what influencers are. Yeah, I think it's especially for brands who have a young target audience today, with millennials or Gen Z, as we call them, it's really important that they allocate a really great amount of a spend for influence marketing. So a business intelligence report had estimated about $10 billion spend in 2020. And it's going to be $15 billion spent that's expected to be spent on influencer marketing by 2022. In terms of ROI, for €1 spent on influencer marketing, turns out businesses are making about €7. So it's really highly lucrative for brands. And that's because marketing studies have found that influencer ads generate 300% greater emotional intensity than the traditional forms of advertising like magazines and TV, as you said. And that's because consumers are far more likely to remember the advert. In terms of platforms, Instagram continues to be the top one, with 96% of marketers continuing to prefer to use that medium for influencer partnerships. However, TikTok is the next one to be looking out for. So you may have heard of TikTok if you have young children or teenagers at home. It was born out of the dance video music challenges, and now its popularity has just exploded. And in 2021, about 70% of brands are planning on using TikTok for influencer marketing. And that sits even above Facebook, which in turn has decreased. And why this attraction? Well, because this video sharing app really allows influencers to share their personalities. As you said, I mean, those people who are influencing are just really kind of some sort of gurus, and they can still they can use a lot more than a still image. They can really appeal to consumers more because their video content feels so real and slick compared to the scripted commercials that brands used to have to sell and engage.
That's fascinating. Thank you. So it sounds like if we're not already on TikTok, we need to be. Maybe Marks needs to get onto TikTok next. Alexandra, I want to come back to you. You said that influencers are normal people, so they're not just like supermodels and sports stars. Are there different types of influencers? And obviously we see them in the fashion industry, the cosmetics industry. Are those where we see most of them, or are there other areas as well?
Yeah, actually, they are everywhere. Nowadays, influencers are in every sector, fashion, beauty, where the movement began, but also for sport, traveling quite a lot, toys, also ecology, ethics. We have, for example, Weaving Nation in Germany with quite a lot of followers. And quite recently in France, the French government also made some videos with influencers in order to promote the shielding measure and also the military services. And the idea is always the same, having some people speaking in a, let's say, in a rather different way to the young people. So every sector is concerned, and even education. In France, we had a campaign on Snapchat from the French television, which was called Snap Ton Bac, and it was proposing help to young people for preparing exams. So it's not only on the commercial sector, of course it's the majority, but it's also on, let's say, politics. And then we have different type of influencer. Of course, we have normal people, like we said before, that I will call them the pure influencer, people beginning and working only in social networks. But we have also quite a lot of people coming from reality show, and some people from reality show are using nowadays the reality show as a springboard for being an influencer, because influencer is for some young people quite a kind of Eldorado. It's easy, it seems easy to make money. And of course, last but not least, real celebrity in a real world also, and not only in a virtual world, could also be influencers. So, like I said, three types of influencer, and then again, divided depending on the number of followers, with the macro, the people having more than 50,000 followers, then the micro influencers between 50,000 followers and 10,000, and then the nano influencer, which will have less than 10,000 followers. And like I said, in every sector, even in the highly regulated sector, such as tobacco, healthcare. So I think, Leticia, maybe you can say also a few words about the sector, the highly regulated sector, with some example.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's important to just kind of remind our listeners out there that you can advertise with influencers if you're a healthcare company or a tobacco company. However, you should really watch out. Like you said, they're really highly regulated. So there was this case in the UK where marketers are not allowed to use so-called celebrities to endorse medicines, where this mommy blogger was advertising this over-the-counter sleeping pill. And Sanofi was the producer of the spiel, said that, you know, her followers were only 30,000 on Instagram. That did not class her as a celebrity compared to, let's say, David Beckham with 55 million plus followers. However, the Advertising Standards Authority in the UK considered that she had the attention of a large audience, and that she was kind of a celebrity for the purposes of the influencer's advertising code. And so the ad was banned, and Sanofi was being more careful after that to not use so-called celebrities to endorse any sort of medicines. And as for tobacco, there's this, again, trend about new generation products like vaping cigarettes, which means that they are becoming highly regulated. But there was a time when there was a bit of a gray area. And I think one tobacco company was caught in breach of again, UK tobacco regulations. Because, well, first of all, they were using those ads across all sorts of networks, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. And they were using models who appeared to be under 25. Well, the ads had to be taken down because they were infringing not once but twice. First of all, because they could be viewed by people under 18, and because the people were really too young to advertise this kind of products.
Well, some very interesting cases there. And I think we're seeing more and more, aren't we, more cases of involving influencers, particularly on the regulatory side. So actually, in the interest of time, I want to move on to the next topic and look at regulation. And maybe starting with you, Letitia, what are the main ways in which influencers are regulated in general in different countries?
Yeah, sure. Well, it's really a mix and match. There are some countries which do not yet regulate influencers, right? And that's a lot of countries in APAC or Turkey or Mexico that I know of. But most countries will have some sort of combination of statutory laws and self-regulation. So, for example, in Italy, there's the marketing communications self-regulatory code, as well as the consumer code, as well as the legislative decree on unfair business practices. But also there will be the self-regulatory body for advertisement and consumer protection. Some other countries like the UK and the US are advanced on that. They have dedicated influencers guidelines. In the UK, it dates back to 2018, whereas in the US, the Federal Trade Commission released both a guide and then a kind of flyer 101 for disclosing your relationships with brands and products, which influencers can just go have a quick look at. And perhaps, Alexandra, you can tell us a bit more how it's done in other countries.
Yeah, sure. So actually, I will give you a short example for France, and I will be short this time because France on this point is actually like Italy. It's a combination between law and guidelines coming from the SRO, self-regulation organization. And the only point I would like to mention is that the rules, so the guidelines from the SRO, which is in France ARPP, Autorité de Régulation Professionnelle de la Publicité. The rules have no specific binding power, but they are quite followed by the court and the French authority.
And are there any new legislative initiatives anywhere that we should be aware of, particularly in any European countries?
Yes, actually, we have new legislative initiative from Germany this time. Actually, quite recent. It was in January last. And the German government drafted a law about unfair competition and unfair commercial practice, and which will answer to the crucial question as regard influencer, which is what will characterize the nature of the post made by the influencer. And the question is always the same. How can we decide if it is an advertisement? And if it is, we will need to comply with the rule about advertising and unfair commercial practice. So the answer to the question, what will characterize the nature of the post made by influencer, made by the German government, is quite clear, is the remuneration. The post will be of commercial nature, and then an advertising, we should comply with the rule of fair and true advertising, when the influencer will receive a remuneration. A remuneration not only in money, but of course it could be gift, every kind of incentive, then we will have advertising. And this text in Germany could be helpful because we had in Germany, let's say the last 2 years, kind of discrepancy or discussion around the question of liking and tagging of product by influencer without remuneration. So we hope that now this legislative initiative, we should enter into force at least in May 2002, will help to answer to the question, what will characterize the post made by influencer?
Yeah, and that's interesting because in Spain, the same thing just happened. I mean, they had kind of a hybrid application to characterize advertising. And so they just passed and implemented a Spanish law that came into force on the 1st of January of this year, actually, which includes a set of dedicated rules with a code of conduct on the use of influencers. And it's binding on advertisers and as well as influencers who can voluntarily join it.
It's interesting to hear that there are efforts to increase or to improve the regulation. I mean, it's clearly difficult to judge things like remuneration and what constitutes that. I mean, what do you think, Alexandra, what are the challenges in particular of regulating influencers?
So first challenge is actually the ephemeral nature of the post, because we know that the average lifetime of a post on Instagram is about 21 hours. So it's then difficult to see if it's correct or not. And then, of course, the question about the nature of the post, if it's advertising or expression of freedom of speech, will come again. And also, one of the big challenge is that the post must obviously be identified as an advertising. We need one of the challenge, it's then to decide, we have the regulation saying, okay, it's advertising, but then we have to assess in concreto if the sign used, such as a hashtag ad or hashtag sponsored by, is actually clearly recognizable by the consumer.
Interesting, yes. And then that raises questions about language and about who the consumers are, I suppose, and how sophisticated they are and so on.
Yeah, and even if 2021, I mean, I think most consumers are now clearly more sophisticated, especially the younger generations. It is really important that we have some sort of legislative framework. I mean, that's the evidence, because I think as a lot more people were self-proclaiming themselves influencers, then the followers, some of them kind of felt cheated, maybe when they found out that, of course, they would receive some sort of payment or free goodies, right? So they really needed to have a more clear definition about what was influencer marketing. As we said today, anybody can become one, a new mommy or kids. Influencers are becoming a big trend too, with kids unwrapping presents on YouTube and toy companies, you know, dealing with kids who are doing those kind of posts.
That's interesting, isn't it? And that raises questions about kind of consent as well, doesn't it? If you've got young people becoming influencers.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a whole part to be really careful about then advertising aimed at children as well.
What about the point of view of brands then? I mean, obviously Mark's members are looking after brands, very valuable brands in some cases. I mean, what tips do you have for brand owners, brand managers when it comes to influencers?
Right. So I think I would summarize this in kind of three main points. So first of all, I would say choose your influencer carefully. Due diligence here is key. Make sure that they have an appropriate kind of followers. Actually, watch out if their followers' growth curve has any dramatic spikes or drops, because that could indicate that they're buying fake followers, and then you could be held responsible for fraud. And then the second thing is, of course, have bulletproof contracting arrangements. Try to define as much as you can what they can and cannot do, how many posts they should do, on which days, what times even, and try to reserve the right to check or approve content before it's posted. Also, I would say it's really important to have just a internal policy in place and train your PR and marketing teams to know how to manage influencers and make sure that they keep within the guidelines and the right hashtags, etc. And last but not least, I think it's important to kind of monitor your influencers even after the relationship may be over. First of all, keep records of all your commercial relationships with talent in case there is a posteriori check on some of the posts. And then monitor, you know, how your audience reacts to what the influencers have been posted. If that goes against any of your brand values, definitely take action and bring sanctions against the influencers. And last but not least, just try to regularly conduct search on platforms to check for products that are being promoted. And if someone is acting like they're being sponsored by you, but they're not, you should consider bringing claim for that according to your applicable law here.
That's some really useful tips there. Thank you, Letitia. But I suppose another question arising from that is, who do you think should be or is responsible for this? Should it be the trademark or IP council, or should other people be involved?
I will say that normally it's going to fall back on the brand owner, the liability, and there's a huge reputational and PR risk issue here. So again, because influencers today seem to have an opinion on everything, and they could take a stand on issues that could be held controversial by your audience, like diversity and inclusion or LGBTQ+, just really make sure to monitor when they posted and even afterwards any of the posts that could have PR risks for you.
Thanks. And Alexandra, do you have anything to add on the question of what brands should be doing or could be doing?
Yeah, actually, they need to be to choose the influencer carefully, like Leticia just said. And also a few words about the influencer. They need to be chosen like actor, and then to be careful because they can have opinion on everything, and they should try to be as authentic as possible because also of the trust people can and the brand can have on them. And about the liability, the influencer should also be reminded that the influencer could also be responsible for the content of the post.
Thank you. Well, we're nearly out of time, so I'd just like to ask both of you very briefly, what do you think the future holds for influencers? And if you could, just give us a very brief prediction for the future, that would be great. Maybe starting with you, Alexandra.
I think in the future, we should keep an eye on illicit practice and fraud because of this influence and of this role of as new guru from influencer. And with the development of also abusing practice and the risk of manipulating the audience, we have to keep an eye on this and to be aware of the development of dupe influencer. And also maybe in the future, it seems clear that the influencer will probably not disappear, at least not yet. And maybe the social network will become a big supermarket or a mall. And the influencer also will probably become a new job in which the aim will be to convert a web user into a consumer. And since influencers could be, it is actually already a new job, they will need education. And maybe Letizia, you know something about education for influencer?
Yes, indeed. So in Milan, I think a lot of people are taking inspiration after this famous Italian influencer called Chiara Ferragni, who's a true entrepreneur today. I mean, she's got her own Amazon show at, you know, only 34 years old, and all she did was be an influencer in her life. So there's an academy that's opened where you can study to become an influencer. It's made in collaboration with the Bocconi School of Management, and you will learn anything from how to engage with the audience, search engine optimization, video and photo shoot editing, as well as content strategy. And just one last thing, I think, I mean, as always, when society, there's an evolution that's really faster than the law, and the law is trying to play catch up with it, I assume that the role of IP and IP enforcement will just become a lot more central. And as you said, with the rise of dupe influencers who are basically selling counterfeit goods online and not hiding from it, there will be a lot more to do from an IP perspective. So I think all of us here in the IP world just stay tuned on what's going on with influencers.
I think you're right. I think it will be a fascinating topic to watch. And it's interesting to hear that even if you can't fake authenticity, maybe you can learn authenticity, at least you can in Milan. So clearly influencers are going to be here to stay. I think that's the prediction from both our speakers. And Marks will continue to investigate and analyze what impact they'll have. And in fact, I know the Marks IP Emerging Issues team is doing a lot of work on this area, and I think producing a report and also hosting a workshop in September. So there'll be lots of resources, so do have a look at the Marks website for more details. But for now, thank you very much indeed to our two speakers, Alexandra and Letitia. It's been great to have your input today, and I think it's been a very interesting discussion. We'll have another episode of the Talking Marks podcast in June, so look out for that. But in the meantime, thank you very much for joining us today, and we look forward to having your company again very soon.
Thank you. We look forward to having a TikTok video maybe at the next conference live in person.
Yes, thank you. Or maybe on Instagram or Snapchat. We have to discuss about this, about which social network we will choose.
Yes, I'm not sure it should involve any dancing, but apart from that, everything's open, I think. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Join us again soon for another podcast on an important issue for brand owners. To find out more on our website and guest speakers, visit marks.org/podcast.